Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, the only trip that matters today is not just the trip to Gobbler's Knob up in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Although I admit I'd love to go for that sometime. No, indeed, what I want to talk about is the trip that Jesus' family made from Nazareth to Jerusalem for the presentation of Jesus in the temple. They did it, we are told, in a couple of different ways by Luke. Luke is the only one that tells us about this event. But Luke tells us that they did this to do what was customary and to fulfill the law and the demands of the law. Most of us contemporary Christians tend to hold a stereotype of the Jewish people of Jesus' day, and the faith of that day is really just a bunch of rules, a bunch of regulations that they had to follow. You had to do this and that, and don't do the other thing. Just a bunch of rules. And certainly there are a number of places in the New Testament where that gets challenged, where Jesus challenges some of the less helpful rules. And I've certainly heard many sermons on that subject, probably preached a few myself. But there's another side to that. Remember that in Jesus' day, just as today, there were lots of faithful people who really sought to love and serve God by following the structures and rules of their religious community. And there's many folks for whom it was a genuine act of devotion, just as it is for many of us today. We have rules today. You're supposed to go to church every Sunday. You're supposed to not speak in this kind of language. You're supposed to do this sort of thing, give here and give there. And we have all kinds of rules by which we judge whether or not somebody is a good Christian. And there are some who really do follow those rules, not just out of a sense of obligation, but as a way to serve God. And there were the same kind of people in Jesus' day. And the truth is, Christians and the people of God, of the Jewish community as well, have always struggled to find that balance between rules and rules and more rules on one end of the spectrum and Jesus loves me no matter what, so I don't need the rules on the other end of the spectrum. And where are we as Christians to find that balance? How do we walk that path of having an appropriate understanding of the rules and the customs of our religious community, and yet not being so caught up in the rules that that becomes all there is? I think today's gospel gives us a helpful reminder of that. We're told, actually, in the verse right before the gospel lesson, that Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. Of course, we know that was a requirement of the Jewish community. A less known requirement was that on the 33rd day following the circumcision, the mother was to be presented for the rite of purification in the temple. Now, it's interesting to me that we're told that the whole family went, Jesus and Mary and Joseph, and perhaps others as well. It's possible that Joseph had other children. So there may have been more, but at least the three of them went to Jerusalem to offer the sacrifice for the purification. And they combined that with presenting Jesus in the temple. Now, the actual sacrifice that the Old Testament tells us was to be a lamb. But if you couldn't afford a lamb, then two turtle doves or two pigeons was also acceptable. And we're told that that's what they did. So the actual sacrifice they offered was for the purification of Mary, who was considered at kind of a second level, not quite as serious an uncleanness, but a bit unclean from the time of the birth of Jesus. So that's actually 40 days now after Jesus' birth. They have come and they have now also presented Jesus, who is to be designated as holy, we are told. The firstborn male was designated as holy unto the Lord. And so he was presented at the temple. And then we hear Simeon's prophecy that God has now sent his Messiah, and we hear Anna's prophecy. And in the chapter before, we heard Zechariah's prophecy about Jesus. So why does Luke tell us about all this? I think he wants us to see that Jesus comes up as a part of a devout, faithful family and as an active part of the religious life of his community. Jesus was not plopped in from outside. He was not a Johnny-come-lately to the life of faith. He grew up in a family that sought to practice their faith, that sought to be faithful and devout in the way they lived, to the point that they actually sacrificed. It was a significant sacrifice for the family to make a trip from Nazareth down to Jerusalem with a 40-day-old baby. And then the trip back up, and all the costs attendant with that, and to make the sacrifices and so forth. And they were willing to do all that. And Luke actually is at pains to show us that as Jesus' life continued, he continued as an active part of his faith community. He went to synagogue on Saturdays, on the Sabbath. He went to temple. The Last Supper was actually a Passover feast, part of the completion of the rules and customs of his community. Yet, we read on the other side that he was willing to challenge the rules of the community as well. In chapter 6, just a few chapters later, we read about how Jesus allowed the disciples to walk through a field on the Sabbath and pluck some of the grains of wheat and eat them. And some of the Jewish leaders criticized them for that because that's not allowed on the Sabbath. And later on, a few chapters later, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Now, I've never understood why teaching isn't considered work on the Sabbath, but that's neither here nor there. And Jesus healed a crippled woman in the synagogue on the Sabbath and was criticized for that. And again, you know, was man made for the Sabbath or was Sabbath made for man? And so he was perfectly prepared to challenge the rules of his community as well. So we're left again. Where do we find that balance? You know, the thing is that the rules and structures of our religious community start off well. They are well intended. We gather for worship every Sunday because God built into creation that seven-day reset, that seven-day refresher. Every seventh day, we should really take a break from the normal pattern of our lives and pause to reorient ourselves to God, to get ourselves realigned with Him. There's real value in that. God is not sitting up there taking attendance, getting annoyed if we miss one and it doesn't check that box like our teachers did in elementary school in those little charts I remember. No, it really does matter for us that we need that time. We need that reset about every 7 days if we're going to maintain our orientation toward God. Prayers throughout the day. We know that the Jewish people had rules for that. We have the understanding that we should say grace before meals. Now, I promise you, it is not that you are going to choke on your salad if you don't say grace. The purpose is so that at least those 3 times during the course of your day, you pause for a moment to remember it is God who provides for my needs. It is God who cares for me. And we need to consistently remind ourselves of that. And saying grace before meals isn't to keep ourselves from choking. It's to build into our lives that pattern of that consistent reminder. So you see, these things begin with a good and right intention, that we would keep ourselves oriented towards God. We build structures into our worship service so that it's not just, you know, Eric making up what I feel like doing this Sunday. No, it's so that we have a structure to make sure that every week we cover the basics. And over the course of a year, actually 3 years of our lectionary cycle, we cover all of the essential teachings and readings of the scriptures. It's not that we have to be enslaved to the lectionary or to our liturgy. It's that the pattern gives us structure and a way by which to make sure that we are covering our basic spiritual needs in our common life together. And yet, being obsessed with the rules just for their own sake renders it all dead. It takes the meaning out of it. It takes the purpose out of it. If all we're doing is trying to tick off a box, okay, I completed that requirement. Now I'm done and I can go do whatever I want. And I was thinking and praying about that this week. And it just so happened that I came to the Wednesday night Bible study at my house. And in our Bible study, we were reading chapter 4 of the Epistle to the Hebrews. And don't look it up now, but if you read the beginning part of that chapter, what you'll find is that the writer of the Hebrews is talking about the Sabbath rest and the importance of the Sabbath rest and how many in the Jewish community have lost their Sabbath rest because they didn't receive it in faith, or in some translation, they didn't combine it with faith. You see, if all we do is follow the rules, it doesn't serve the purpose for which God intends it. It is when we hear these things in faith and devotion to God, it is when we make the Sabbath a part of our devotion to God, that it accomplishes the healing purpose for which it is intended. Now I get that there are Sunday mornings when you'd rather turn off the alarm and roll over. Especially on mornings like this morning, you know, when it's a little cold out and, you know, and my blankets are warm and cozy. It's very tempting to just flick that switch off and go back to sleep. But, you know, gotta check off the box. Okay, if it starts that way, fine. So be it. And if some days you're just here because you know it's what you're supposed to do, that's fine. But when you get here, let it be in faith. Let it become part of your devotion to God. Let it become part of how you seek for God to speak to you and change you and shape you and form you. I dare say that when Jesus' family got up, they didn't really feel like hiking all the way down to Jerusalem either. But they did it. And they found God at work in the temple when they got there. And they heard the words of prophets and other things. They did it anyway, trusting that in the structure, in the rules, God would be at work. And yet, when it got in the way, Jesus was willing to challenge as well. Now, here's my suggestion, and here's an image I'd like to use. Sometimes we come at church and we think about the church as kind of a smorgasbord, as a buffet, where I get to go pick the things I happen to like. And I want to suggest to you that that buffet is laid out because these are the things that are necessary and healthy for your life as a follower of Jesus, for your service to God. If you want a pork chop, fine, eat a pork chop. But you know what? You need some green vegetables too. You need to balance. If you want some fatty bacon, have something else too. Some nice vegetables or some fruit or something to go along with it. It's intended to provide for us a balanced diet. There's an illustration I can't help but use that I heard of the life of the church and of seminary. I thought it was wonderful. That going to seminary is like going to culinary school. You learn all the basics of nutrition and how to prepare a healthful and delicious meal. But pastoring a church is more like an episode of Chopped, where you have a bunch of ingredients that don't all go together, and you got people commenting from the sidelines, and every once in a while something blows up. As a pastor, that's a wonderful illustration to me. But look at the life of the church as a buffet from which you're not just here to pick the things that happen to be comfortable for you that you happen to like, but to find all the pieces that are necessary for a healthy and growing life as a follower and servant of God. Remember, these things are not here to cramp your style or to manipulate you, but to keep you healthy, to keep you growing, to keep you challenged. You may not always want your vegetables or your quiet time when you get up in the morning, but you need it. You may really want that extra piece of bacon, or you may really want that extra sleep on Sunday morning, but you have to get up and do it. You may want to get really salty with somebody, but we all know that too much salt isn't good for you, right? So we have to be careful, and we have to bridle the tongue. This is all to keep us on a healthy spiritual diet. It's not just rules. It's our faith in action. Now, here's something that I want to bring something new into the mix today. I have, for years, talked about what I've always seen as four critical elements in the life of the church, in your life of faith. First, gathering with other Christians for weekly worship. We need that 7-day reorientation. We need to be reset in our orientation to God. We need in our own private devotion, we need daily time in the scriptures and in prayer. It doesn't need to be 3 hours, but it needs to be something. We pause and take a little time out of our day to point ourselves to God, to ask Him to teach us a little, to pray for the things that are on our hearts, for those things that we care about, for our loved ones and so forth. I would suggest to you that a regular gathering with some trusted fellow Christians is really important. Some people that you will get to know and trust and who will get to know and trust you, and where you can share your life and your struggles and the things that you find challenging and learning together about how to live this Christian life. That's an important part of our Christian walk. And then the offering of sacrificial service, service to others, is also something that is a healthy part of the pattern of Christian life. But I've come to see that there's a gap in that picture. There's a hole there. And the hole is this, that those four things are satisfied with my Christian walk. But the scriptures make clear to us that part of our call is to be drawing others into that Christian walk, into that walk of faith. And so I want to suggest a fifth element in my list now, and that is invitation. We each should be about the business of drawing others into that faith community as part of our healthy Christian walk. Now, that doesn't mean knocking on doors and, you know, let me tell you about Jesus. It just means inviting people in to the community where we have found that life of faith. And to be deliberate about that. And to look for opportunities to do that. And to seek out those opportunities. And even sometimes, yes, to put ourselves a little bit out of our comfort zone. And let ourselves get a little uncomfortable in bringing it up with somebody. And inviting them into something that we have found to be meaningful and helpful in the life of a loving Christian community. I've come to see that that is also an essential element that we should each have. Of course, we talk about that, but we need that. We need a healthy, balanced Christian diet if we want to be healthy and grow as the people of God. And I pray that we will each follow the customs of our faith community so that we may be truly the people of God. Amen.